listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 74. Hey everybody, Kayla Lords here today without John Brownstone, and no, I don't love that either. Today, I'm talking in very personal terms though about living an everyday life in a DS relationship and everything that goes into that, including the layers in your head, if that makes sense. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at kaylalords.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on iTunes to help other kinksters find us. You can follow me on Twitter, at kaylalords, or stalk John Brownstone at southernsirsplace.com. All links are in the show notes. This week's podcast is sponsored by me as an erotic author. Yay! I have a new ebook out, the final book in the Adventures of Sir and Baby Girl series. It's called Forever Bound. The entire series, four books in all, follows Sir and Baby Girl as their DS relationship grows and changes. You might see some familiarities in it if you read it. Whatever. Art imitating life. So if you have read the other books and you've been anxiously awaiting this one, as many people have been, it is now out in all the usual places. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, and Smashwords. You can also get a direct download PDF from my website. And yes, links will be in the show notes. And if the series is new to you, definitely start with the first book called The Adventures of Sir and Baby Girl. And it is free everywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, Smashwords, and yes, on my website. Now, if you have read any of my books or you from here on out read any of my books, whether it's the first one, the last one, or just something else I've written and you liked it, please leave a review. Reviews are like hugs for authors, virtual hugs. They don't cost anything but a few minutes of time and they help other readers find us. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So fourth book, Sir and Baby Girl series, it's called Forever Bound. Links will be in the show notes. And if you haven't read any of the series yet, if the fact that I'm an author is new information to you, which that's okay, I don't talk about it that much, then the very first book in that series is free, and that's the place to start, because that's how you know who the heck these people are. So there you go. This week's show, me as an author, get my book, please and thank you. Love you forever, mean it. Okay, let's get into the show. And today's show's weird, one, because John Brownstone is not here with me, and he thought he might even sit next to me through this show, and then he coughed once, and I said, you're not getting anywhere near the microphone. It is not happening. One, I don't think that's good for him, and two, none of y'all want to hear that. So, I don't know for this show that I have any wisdom to impart. And if you've listened to any of like the past shows for a while, you know that when I do have to do these by myself now, since it's now a rare thing, when it used to be the norm, I did them by myself and the rare thing was for daddy to join me. Now we've reversed and it's rare for me to be alone. I like to be able to share something with you that I don't think requires the other side of the slash's perspective, right? So this is the stuff in my head. And while I have no doubt that John Brownstone can give some perspective on the craziness that goes on in my head, this is a much more personal kind of topic. If you get anything from this, I think this is more of a happy coincidence than the purpose. Y'all know, normally I go, okay, this thing happened to me and here's what I think it means for you. And I don't, it's not quite like that this time. My whole point to this, to telling all of this to you, and it will be kind of a long rambly thing, and I apologize now, is to let you know that when you, in your own life and in your own personal situations that will be different from what I'm about to describe, when these kinds of things happen to you, I guess what I want you to know is it's normal. It's normal to not always feel your role. You know, not everybody lives a DS life 24/7, either because they can't or because they don't want to. But for those of us who are trying to and who say that we do, that does not mean that every second of every day we feel like a submissive or we feel dominant or we feel like a baby girl. I am a proud masochist, and I promise you, when I step on a Lego in the middle of my kid's bedroom, I don't feel like a masochist right then, okay? So I think we know these things logically. If we step outside from ourselves and we look at what's going on objectively, we go, of course we're not going to feel our kinky self all the time. But that's different than when you're in the middle of it and some little thing in your head tells you, shouldn't I be feeling submissive right now? I'm not feeling very submissive. What's wrong? And I just want to let you see what this looks like from my perspective so that you can look at it from the outside looking in, because you're going to be more objective. And if you can be objective about me and see what I'm talking about, maybe when it's happening to you, you can be more objective too. So if you get anything from it, that's kind of what I'm hoping, okay? Now, it's kind of a long rambling story, and it is about layers. And the reason I say it's about layers is because the moment I thought I would do this show, especially when I realized I would be doing the show by myself this week, I thought of the movie Shrek. And maybe it's because I'm part baby girl. Maybe it's because I have kids. I don't know. But I think in terms of animated movies a lot. And we love the Shrek movies around here. So if you haven't seen them in a while, or maybe you've never seen them, here you go. So there's a scene in the first Shrek movie. Shrek and Donkey, who is a talking donkey, they're walking through the field. They're on their quest to save Princess Fiona, who I love because she's kick-ass. And she didn't really need an ogre or man to save her. She could have kicked their ass herself. Anyway, they're walking through this field on their way to go rescue her. And Shrek says to Donkey, well, ogres are like onions. And Donkey comes back with, oh, because you smell bad? No. Oh, because you make people cry? And Shrek's like, no, because we have layers. Onions have layers. Ogres have layers. Well, guess what? People have layers. Kinksters have layers. Vanilla people have layers. Everybody's got layers. And we all know that. We don't really actually have to be told that. But sometimes we forget, right? We think things are black or white and we're supposed to be all one thing or all another. And it's not really like that. So bear with me. It's a layered story. There's several things going on all at the same time. And I'll probably ramble. And knowing me, I'll backtrack. So I just want to give you a glimpse into my head in a slightly stressful week, not really your typical week, but kind of your typical week. And so you can see the parts where I might have told myself I should feel a certain way, or when I realized I wasn't feeling a certain way, I could have felt bad about it, but I didn't. Okay, so that's kind of what I'm trying for here. So let's start with like the base layer. The base layer is on a normal week when everybody's healthy, which they have not been lately. But when everybody's healthy, I work from home. So technically I set my own schedule. And a lot of people think I just like live in my pajamas and I start working at 11 and I'm done by 2. And that's not really how it works. Because I'm also the main caretaker and caregiver in the family. I take care of the house. I take care of the kids. I certainly take care of John Brownstone. He gets up at 5:30. I get up at 5:30. You know, he goes to bed at 10. I go to bed at 10 because from the time he's awake to the time he's asleep, I got stuff to do in the middle there too. And it's all the basic stuff. It's getting kids up to go to school. It's dealing with dinner. It's making lunches. It's running an errand. It's all the normal stuff. Plus, I happen to work from home. And I work about in the middle of the week when nobody else is around. I work about 25 hours. And then I usually fill in the rest of the gaps with time to work on the weekends. Sometimes at night, but that's kind of my work schedule. So there's always something going on. That's my normal life. I'm thinking about what are we having for dinner? What am I buying at the grocery store? What errand do I need to run? Does the car need gas? What do I need to remind John Brownstone about? Have my kids turned in their projects? You know, what's the next appointment to go to? All that normal stuff. We all have it, right? That's like my base layer. That's my everyday life. In the middle of it, there's a little bit of kinky fuckery sometimes. There's the tasks I have as a submissive. There's the stuff we do together, kinky or not, as daddy and baby girl. That's like the base layer. That's normal stuff, okay? That's going on pretty much no matter what's going on around here. This past week, let's add a layer to that. Daddy was sick as a dog. He was so sick, y'all. And not like man flu. He was one, legitimately sick. And two, he's not a hypochondriac. He does not tell me that if he has a cold that really he's like dying of malaria. Okay. This is not his style at all. The same calm, relaxed, centered man when he's well, it's the same when he's sick. The difference is he wants to be left the hell alone and he wants to go take a nap. So that's what he did. He started feeling bad on Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday, I think Tuesday night, I kind of said, if you feel bad in the morning, you're not going to work, right? And he said, no, I'm not going to work. But he did have a doctor's appointment Wednesday morning for a separate issue. So he was feeling bad enough that he said, baby girl, will you drive me to my appointment on Wednesday? Well, one, of course I will. And two, in my head, I start mentally pushing back my work, right? It was a Wednesday. I was going to have some work to do. Okay, not a problem. Push that back. Move this around. Let's take care of this. Daddy needs me. Not a problem. Well, we get through his appointment. No problem. We get home. Y'all, you want to know how bad he was feeling? After his appointment, I said to him, hey, you want to go get a coffee? If you want a coffee, I guess we can go, but not really. What? Yes, this is how bad it was. He had had 3 sips of his morning coffee, and that was it. That was it. I get him home. He goes to bed, and he stays in bed asleep. Other than getting up to pee, to take NyQuil, and every once in a while to drdrink some Gatorade for about 2.5 days. That is what he did this past week. He slept until he could not sleep anymore. And most of the time what woke him up was coughing. He would roll over and he'd cough and he'd wake up a little bit. And I would slip in and go, hey, do you need some Gatorade? Hey, are you hungry? I did finally, on the second day of sleeping, tempt him to eat something. So what this means while this is going on is, sure, he's not in my way. He's not asking for a whole lot. He's trying to sleep. But I'm doing the things that I think a good partner does when the other one is down. I'm doing the stuff he would normally do around the house that I can. I'm not in the garage turning pins, y'all, or making bowls. But I lock up at night, which is usually what he does. You know, at night, he tends to set the table and take care of the dog while I'm cooking dinner. Well, of course, that means I'm doing it now. And I'm doing it half-assed because I'm tired and I don't want to do it, but things still need to get done. There's only one parent to discipline little children around here. I'm taking care of all of that. The things that normally I might just stop everything and ask him what he wants or what he thinks we should do about it, I am either deferring it because it's not that big of a deal and it can wait, or I'm going, okay, this is the decision I know he'd make, and this is the decision I'll make, and I know he'll support me in this when I tell him later. Boom, and we keep everything rolling, right? Because just because one of you is down and out, the house still has to stay standing. The kids still have to get taken care of. Work still has to get done. Those things don't ever stop just because one of you is sick or one of you is out or whatever, right? So I had this moment. I had 2 moments in the middle of this, probably around Thursday mid-morning when I realized he had been asleep for about 24 hours, not nonstop, but with just short, like 10-minute breaks, 24 hours of sleep, no caffeine, not a lot of food. I could get him to drink Gatorade and he was happily taking his DayQuil or his NyQuil or whatever he wanted to take, but he was not interacting. He was not part of the household at all for those 24 hours. I had 2 thoughts. The first thought was, oh my gosh, I'm not really feeling very submissive. Here's the cool thing. That thought was immediately followed up by, bitch, what are you talking about? Yes, you are. Why? Because my sole purpose when I wasn't taking care of the normal things, right, that are rote, that I do without thinking most of the time, I was thinking about how I could take care of things for him, things that he wouldn't have to worry about, things that he wouldn't be thinking about right now because he was sick. I promise you, Wednesday night, he did not give a shit who locked up the front door and turned off all the lights. You know, he would have thought about it a few days later if I had never done it, but those things were not priorities to him. But I made them priorities to me because they are things that he does normally think about and they are things he does normally do. So for half a second, I had the thought of, ooh, I'm not feeling very submissive. And then the rest of my brain kicked on and went, yes, you are. You are serving. You are taking care of him. Every time you, you know, run and get him a glass of Gatorade, every time you run and offer to help him go to the bathroom or help him come out into the living room and just sit up for a while, that's you taking care of him. That is part of being submissive. And the nice thing about that was it was a mind game I played with myself. It is very easy. I know from a submissive perspective, I can't speak to any other perspective, but from a submissive perspective to go down in the dumps and go, oh, I didn't get to do these things X, Y, Z. Therefore, I don't feel very submissive. And then once you tell yourself you don't feel submissive and you convince yourself of it, guess what? You're not feeling very submissive. And that will stay with you until something happens to jolt you out of it. Well, I had the thought and then I had the counter thought and I argued with myself in my head because that's part of what goes up on up here and it's a little loud in my head most of the time. And then I stopped feeling that way. Every time I did something there was that little thought of, yes, this is me being submissive. And it's not like a conscious thought where I can hear a voice clearly in my head. I'm crazy. I'm not that crazy, y'all. But it was a feeling that I just felt submissive because I reminded myself that these things are submissive. Now, because nothing is truly black or white, we are never all one thing or another, I will admit I had another thought that was going on simultaneously and that I thought was kind of hilarious, but really true. So in our household, I am the main caretaker of the family, the house, and everything that goes on within it to keep things rolling. If baby girl's down and out, this place can come to a standstill. So baby girl tries never to be down and out, just so y'all know. But I looked at him, I think probably about the second day when I think I was just kind of tired. I was trying not to be worried about him. And so when I don't want to worry, I go sarcastic. I go kind of snarky. And in my head at the time, I did not say it out loud because there's nobody to say it to. The kids are at school and he was asleep. So saying it to anybody else would have just been kind of silly. I thought to myself, well, damn, I wish when I got sick, I could sleep like that. Now, this is going to sound like a gender thing when I say this, but it's really a whoever is the main caretaker of your family, whoever that person is in your house, they don't get to be sick like other people get to be sick, okay? Those people don't get to just sleep for 3 days. Now, that's not, I hate that about John Brownstone, he got to sleep for 3 days. I was worried about him that he was sleeping for 2 or 3 days, but I was also able to acknowledge in a little snarky tone in my head that I could not do that. I could not have that luxury. Do I want to be sick? I didn't. I am now. I don't want to be sick. Did I want him to be sick? Hell no. I wanted him to be well and better and up and teasing me and being my daddy. That's what the hell I wanted. But I had that moment and I had that thought. And for a second, I felt like a traitor, like, ooh, that's kind of bitchy. You shouldn't think that. And then I went, no, that's the reality. Whoever the person is that makes sure that your household is running well, like a well-oiled machine, you can't let that person get sick. And if they get sick, you better hope and pray they will like suck it up just enough to make sure people have food and that children are dressed and that everybody gets to school on time. Okay. Have I been so sick that John Brownstone has picked up some of my tasks? Has he dropped off a kid at school? Has he picked up a kid from school? Has he overseen homework? Absolutely. But it's rare. It is very, I have to be really, really sick. So I was having that thought. The same, y'all, think about this. This is how interconnected all the layers are in our head and all the thoughts that we have and all of the reality that we're living is never just this black or white thing. There's, God, I hate this phrase, but we'll use it. There are shades of gray to everything. So here I am acknowledging that everything I'm doing to take care of daddy is me being submissive. It is also me loving him as one partner loves another. It is also me trying to be a good partner, knowing that when I can't give my all, he will pick up my slack, which is what happened a few days later. But I'm also able to acknowledge that I could never just sleep for 2 or 3 days. That's just not my reality. I'm not jealous of that fact. I'm not mad about that fact. But I was feeling a little snarky in my head about that fact. So all of that's going on. Now, remember, there's still that base reality of my life. I'm still cooking dinner. I'm still working. I'm still running errands. I'm still dealing with the kids. I'm now doing it a little bit without him, which made me tired. I just was tired this past week. And then we add, okay, he's sick. And now I'm taking care of him. And I'm trying to do the things he would normally do if he was awake and well and around. But I'm also acknowledging that, well, it's not quite even. When I'm sick, it's not quite like that. And yet, that's okay. And this is just part of the reality, and we keep moving on. Now, all of this is going on, right? Let's add a new layer. I'm a month out from going to London. At the time of this recording, in an exact month, I will actually be coming back from Eroticon. That's where we're at in timing-wise. But I'm in get-ready mode. So my passport arrived. Yay. I ordered my Oyster card for the tube. I'm saying that right, I think. It should be here in a couple days. So I will literally get off the plane and I will have it. I won't have to stop and talk to anybody. I will hopefully just scan or swipe or do whatever it is you do with the damn thing. I've bought a couple things that I want to make sure I have for my trip. I'm scheduling appointments so I do not look like Bigfoot. So I'm making sure I'm getting all my appointments straightened out. So I have everything waxed that needs to be waxed. The hair is done like the hair needs to be done. I might even get a manicure just so I don't look like I work, you know, in a basement somewhere with gross nails. I don't know. Like, I'm mentally saying to myself, okay, what clothes are you going to pack? What are you going to do? This is all going on at the same time. And the way my head works, you would think I could say to myself, self, you do not have time this week with your daddy being sick and all this stuff going on with work and school and all this other going on. You do not have time to think about this. Put this to the back burner until everybody's healthy again. Well, my brain does not work like that, y'all. This is the reality for me. I am a month out. It is top of mind. Everything I do, I'm looking at my calendar. I'm looking at my appointments. What do I need to reschedule? How do I want to work this? What am I going to pack? What do I need to buy? I'm mentally making shopping lists of things I know I want to make sure I have. All that kind of stuff's going on. So that's going on. And that is my professional mind at work. That is Kayla, the writer, the blogger, the podcaster, getting ready to go to a conference. So that's going on. And there's nothing submissive about that, bitch. I am a control freak when it comes to my professional side. So that's going on. Now, that's kind of always going on. I'm sort of always like that. In the middle of all this chaos we've had this week, I've had a couple of ideas. I did have to wait until Daddy was lucid again to go, what do you think of this idea? He wasn't quite lucid enough. He looked at me with a very blank stare and said, can we talk about this in a few days? So I'm waiting. Hopefully we'll talk about it in a couple of days. But there's that going on at the same time. Now you can see how my head can get a little crowded. And this is not unique to me. This happens to everybody out there, okay? But you can also see how there are times when, you know what? You're not feeling whatever your kinky role is. Your mind is somewhere else doing other things. Now, I will say, with all of this going on, because I did not know at any given point while he was sleeping the days away, if he'd wake up in the middle of the night and want a cup of coffee, or if he'd wake up in the night and reach for something. So every night I made sure we have sort of a routine at bedtime where I put things on his nightstand and I get the coffee pot ready. And I made sure every night all of those things were still ready for him on the off chance that he sort of woke up miraculously the next morning and was just bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. It did not happen. It still hasn't happened. We kind of had to push each other out of the bed today, and today of recording is a Monday, and that doesn't usually happen. But so everybody's still moving slow. So all of that's going on, right? Now, here's the part that I think I'm removed enough from it. I will not cry when I tell you this part, but here's the other part, and this is where we get back to the kinky side of things, or not the kinky side of things, but the kinkster role that I have and that I feel within me. So there's my submissive side. And I've said before that my baby girl side is to a certain degree separate from my submissive side, because sometimes those two sides don't get along. Submissive side serves and takes care of and submits. Baby girl will serve, will submit, but wants to be taken care of. And sometimes the wanting to be taken care of is in direct conflict with the taking care of somebody else, okay? So I consider these two distinct parts of who I am, that they usually work well together and play nicely in the sandbox, and sometimes they do not. So when I tell you this affects my baby girl side, it's not a kinky thing. It's just it's a me thing, I guess. It's just part of who I am. Being baby girl is part of who I am. So right around Christmas time, one of my closest friends on the planet, she is the only vanilla person I've ever given my pen name to. Long before I did a lot of the things I do now, she read one blurb from one book that's not even published anymore. I actually took it off out of publication and said, you're a kinky freak. I don't need or want to know anymore. I'm good. That's how close we are. She was there for the birth of my youngest child. She helped me get through my divorce. She helped me figure out the single mom life. She was there even when I didn't knew I needed somebody to be there. We are tight. The only reason I cried sad tears when I packed up my whole life and moved it from one part of the state to another to be with John Brownstone was because I was leaving her. Okay. We are that tight. We've known each other right around 10 years now. Right at Christmas, she was diagnosed with renal carcinoma, cancer of the kidney. And at the time, that's kind of all she knew. She knew what the best case scenario could be and what the worst case scenario could be. And I've got Google. I quickly knew what the best and worst case scenario could be too. And where nobody but John Brownstone could see me, I pretty much fell apart at around Christmas time. We were visiting my family. And thankfully, we had some time where it was just the two of us and I could just fall apart. The worst part about that is that just a few months prior to this diagnosis that she has been given, her sister, who was also very kind to me when I lived in that area, was diagnosed with cancer. And I cannot remember what kind, but not an easy one to deal with. So their whole family has just been hit with a massive bomb. There are three sisters and two of them have been diagnosed with cancer. So what she had asked for me in the beginning when she made this diagnosis a little bit more public was, please don't tell me how sorry you are, because that's all I'm hearing from my family. Be who you always have been. And to me specifically, she said, please keep being your sarcastic asshole self. Not a problem. I will joke inappropriately until you tell me not to. Like, thank you. Thank you for telling me what my role needs to be. I know how to handle this. So that was at Christmas and I'd followed up with her, and her daughter is only a few years younger than me. And she'll message me from time to time and go, mom's got a big appointment today. She's not telling anybody about it, but will you reach out to her? Absolutely. Thank you for keeping me in the frickin' loop. I could kick your mom's ass for not telling me, right? So that particular week, I'd gotten one of those messages. This last week, I got one of those messages from my friend's kid. And I did. I reached out and I said, just thinking about you, let you know I love you. I think I cracked some joke. She came back 2 days later. This was, Thursday? Yeah. So daddy had been asleep for a while. I was kind of feeling like I was in a no man's land by myself. The kids are always, you know, they're at school. My daddy's close by, but he's out of reach, out of touch. I'm in my head working on things. She is always in the back of my mind, but that worry and that fear and that sadness you feel, you know, because it's not my day-to-day life right now, I could sort of close it off a little bit. I could compartmentalize it a little bit and only bring it out and allow myself to feel it when I had to. Well, this ended up being one of those times I had to. She messaged me and she said, well, it's not the absolute worst case scenario, but it's not great. She said, I can't have chemo and I can't have surgery. I have to do radiation. They're not exactly real excited about that, but that's my only option. I can't feel my right leg. I can't walk right now. I'm working from home. And it's just really bad. And I lost it, but I didn't lose it in the baby girl sense. I didn't lose it like I had over Christmas. And maybe it's because my head knew that at that moment, I could have cried on daddy's shoulder. He would not have known I was there. And that's not to say anything bad about him. He was just that out of it. He was just that sick. He was that doped up on NyQuil. So I tried to hold it together a little bit. A lot of quiet tears. I would be driving in the car and the tears would just fall. The one time he did wake up long enough for us to actually have a brief, like, 5-minute conversation, I didn't mean to tell him. I thought I would wait to talk to him about it until he was feeling better. And I couldn't help it because he is my partner. He's my dominant. He's my daddy. But he's also the man who I love and depend on and trust. And he is, like, the only person sometimes that I can just say whatever I need to say to. So I'd sort of told him a little bit. But I didn't have a baby girl meltdown. I didn't go into baby girl mode. And it was funny, in this distant spot in my head, I kind of stood back and went, you're not going all baby girl. I know, isn't that crazy? Y'all, I do talk to myself in my head. And I thought about it for a second and I thought, well, I can't be baby girl right now because I can't have my daddy. And what is the point of being baby girl when you have a daddy if you can't go to your daddy, if you can't have that person to take care of you? I'm too busy taking care of everybody else right now. My moment will come. It's just not right now. So I thought my fatigue and my lack of energy was because I was worried, solely because I was worried about her. And she's been very close-lipped about it all because she doesn't want to worry those of us who are close to her. But I'm more worried with not knowing than I am with knowing. And I'm already making plans in my head for how I'm going to get to go see her. She is potentially going to move closer to where her daughter is and use that cancer center rather than the one near where she lives. And so I'm you know, we're talking about it. I'm like, the moment you know where you're going, when, it, what you're going to do, let me know, because it means I'm either going to go visit her where she lives now, or I'm going to go visit her at her daughter's, but I'm going to go. I already know this. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I hadn't figured out how I'm going to pay for it. I don't know any of that, but I know I'm going to go. So all these things are going on at the same time. And that is not a woe is me. That is not a, oh, you know, sympathize with me. I don't want any of that, because all that is a snapshot of a few days in my life. And that is no different. And in some cases, for some people, my version, my snapshot is way better than other people's. I know people who are going through their own chronic illnesses. I know people who are going through their own cancer diagnosis, and they're still trying to maintain some level of a relationship and take care of their kids and have a normal life and work. My point to all this is we all have these lives where 10 million things are going on at once. And guess what? One, you won't always feel whatever your DS role is when you think you should. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that the worst thing for me would have been to fall into baby girl mode and wait for somebody to come take care of me, because there wasn't nobody coming right then, okay? I would still be waiting right now. But I think it's also important to have those, not to sound like I'm a crazy person, I am, but that's different. These conversations with yourself in your head, and tell yourself, whoa, you don't tell yourself you don't feel, in this case, submissive. You're doing submissive things. It's okay to play that mind game with yourself as long as you're honest with yourself. No, it doesn't feel very submissive to do all the daddy jobs, right? Because that's what I was doing. I was doing all my daddy's jobs. But I was, by doing that, I was taking care of things so that he had less to think about, if he was even thinking about him at all at the time. That was me serving him. So I could get my head back in the game of going, no, I feel submissive because I am doing these things. It was also not beating myself up when I had the snarky thought of, I will never get to be sick like that because that's just not how my life works. It was that moment of telling myself, you can go baby girl over this really sad thing that you don't want to really think about much later. Right now, feel your sadness, let yourself be scared, but do not crumble into a pile, because there is nobody around who can pick you back up right now. And in this particular week, that's what those conversations in my head look like for those specific situations. Next week, it might be something different. A month from now, it'll be something different. But the point is that I can't beat myself up just because I don't feel or behave in the way that I, quote, think I'm supposed to, okay? We have these pictures in our head of what it means to be a submissive, a baby girl, a dominant, you know, a slave, a master, a masochist, a sadist, whatever role it is you personify and that you embrace and that you say to yourself, yes, I am these things. I'm not playing at being these things. I'm not trying to be these things. These things are who I am at my core. That's fine and good and true. I am a submissive at my core. I am, God knows, I'm a baby girl deep, deep down. Okay. I know that about myself, but that does not mean that in every single solitary interaction I have, in every single moment of my life, in every one of the weird layers of life going on, that I'm going to feel it. And so I am not going to feel bad or allow myself to feel bad when I feel something other than those roles that I know are true about myself. And so that is the thing I wanted to share with you this week. Since I could not have my daddy here with me. And little side note, I will tell you. So he slept almost all day Wednesday, definitely all day Thursday, part of the day on Friday. I kind of had him up and about on Friday. And then Saturday we went and did errands, and Saturday was the crossing over point. He is still sick. He has this awful, awful cough that I keep thinking, okay, do you need to go to the doctor for the cough? You know, has it developed into bronchitis? Is there something going on there? Right at the same time, it was like we were two ships passing in the night, because as he was starting to get well enough that he could go out again and he could run errands, I started getting sicker. I got the sore throat. I got the chills and then the feverish feeling. I still have it, quite frankly. And so things switched on us. And by Saturday afternoon, after a day of errands, all I wanted to do was go to sleep. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to look at anybody. I just wanted to lay down. I didn't go to sleep. I did lay down for a couple hours, and then I got up when I kind of felt like I had energy. And we did our Saturday evening thing. We do movie night as a family. We, you know, eat snacks and stuff. But come Sunday, I slept. I did what he had done during the week, and I did it for myself. Now, here's what's funny. In the middle of all that, we had actually had a conversation when he was finally well enough to have lucid conversations again. And I had said, I had this really snarky thought, Daddy, and I'm really sorry, but I wanted to share it with you because it's actually kind of funny. And I shared that with him, and I said, I could never sleep like you sleep, not for 2 or 3 days. He says, I feel really bad. I said, please don't feel bad. I'm not telling you this to make you feel bad. It's just this observation I had. And he said, but I recognize that you're right. You know, on a Tuesday, Thursday, Monday, you could never do this. But apparently I can do it on a Sunday. And so Sunday I slept nearly all day. I woke up enough to get a little bit to eat. And then I went back to sleep. And then I woke up a little bit more and I went back to sleep. And he took care of everything. He made his own lunch for Monday. He got the kids in the shower when they needed to take a shower. He got them dinner. He got our oldest, one of his chores is to load the dishwasher. He got him to do that. And I really think that had I never, I think he would have done his best if I had taken a Sunday and just slept because I was feeling really sick. But I think that he made that extra effort because I said something, because I shared that snarky thought that I'm supposedly not supposed to have. So I shared that part with you to let you know that, see, good times, bad, weird times, sick times, crazy times. It's always good to communicate, even those little random thoughts. It's not always what you say, it's how you say it. Had I said it to him in a way that was just as snarky as I was thinking it, it probably wouldn't have gone over so well. But I said it to him in context of telling him what I was intending on talking about for the podcast, and I shared it with him, and I think that that led to him making an extra effort Sunday when I slept for nearly 24 hours. It's Monday, the day I'm recording. That was not an option. I have taken it kind of easy this week, or this today, and we'll probably take it easy this week, until I get fully better, but yeah, we're main caretaker of the house. I drop the kids off. I got to pick them up, all that good stuff. So that is what I want to share with you this week. If you have anything similar that you can relate to, that you've had those kind of thoughts, feel free to share them. Kayla Lourdes on FetLife on Twitter. I'm Kayla Lourdes author. It's a Facebook page, but you can find me on Facebook if you want. I'm considering doing an Instagram because I do take some pictures that aren't, you know, tits or ass, but that I wouldn't want to share in my vanilla life that I might want to share on Instagram. I'm still considering it. If I do that, I'll share that for people who are on Instagram. But so that's that. There's not going to be a big bonus section this week because I do not have John Brownstone with me, but I do have postcards, and I have 2 postcards, and yay for that. So one is from somebody who has sent us postcards before. He goes by Elliot online. He has a great male sex blogger blog where you get to see pictures of his cock and there and stories. And it's not like gratuitous where you kind of feel a little slimy after you've seen it. No, it's like he's sharing something of himself with anybody who cares to read about it. So he sent us a very, very sort of erotic, but not overtly like creepy erotic or overtly sexual erotic image postcard. And then, oh, she is from Sugarland, Texas, just outside of Houston. She's one of our crickets, so I know you're listening. Yay. And on FetLife, she goes by R-KIE22. I'll link to it, don't worry. But she sent us a homemade postcard with Kayla Lourdes and John Brownstone and a kitten on the front, and then giraffe stickers on the back. So my little baby girl heart was very, very full after that. And yay for postcards. I have gotten to a point, I keep thinking it's a fluke. I'm not going to get postcards. And I go to the post office and there are postcards. And this was one of those times where like, oh, there won't be anything. And then there were 2 postcards. So I was very excited. So keep sending us postcards. That's pretty much all I have for this week. I hope y'all don't feel cheated. It's not a full normal show without John Brownstone, but hopefully he'll be back next week and the cough will be better. Y'all did not want to hear that cough in the microphone is what I'm telling you. You just did not. So that's it for me this week. We will see you next week. I have no clue what we'll be talking about next week, but I got some ideas. If you've got ideas, feel free to share them. We always like ideas. And that's it. Keep it kinky, y'all. We'll see you next week.